Dear Heavenly Father, open our hearts up to the beauty of your word and help us to realize how much we have when we say, I belong to Jesus. Lord, help us to remember that without you, there is no hope in this world. Without you, there is no light. And Lord, as we look at you today as the good shepherd, help us to realize what that means. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes the chapter divisions in the Bible, which are put in way after the Bible was written, break things up so that you don't see the continuity of one to another. And last week we were in chapter 9 where we talked about Jesus healing the blind man, the man that was born blind. And I want to remind you again what it would be like to be born blind. I mean, it's one thing if you see and then you become blind. But if you're born blind, you don't have any idea when someone says red or blue or stars. You have no idea in your mind. You can't even form a concept because you don't know what a color is or what something you can only see and not feel and hear and smell and touch is. And so God had healed this man born blind, and it must have been the most amazing day of his life. He sees colors for the first time. He sees faces for the first time. All these things that people talk about that he never had a reference to, he's starting to put into place. And it should be the happiest day of his life, but it's ruined. It's ruined by religious leaders. People who are supposed to be following God, who come and tell him, well, Jesus made you see, but because we don't like Jesus, we're going to kick you out of the synagogue. And they kicked him out of the synagogue. They're still there, and they taunted Jesus. They said at the end of chapter 9, are we blind too? And he says, if you were really blind, you wouldn't have an issue, but the thing is, you're saying you see, but you're blind, but you really don't, and so your sin remains. Now that's the last thing he says in chapter 9, and then it goes right into chapter 10. There is no break there. He's still in the same conversation. It says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up another way, he's a thief and a robber. And then Jesus starts going in and talking about him being the good shepherd. Now, this was a shocking statement to the Jews. Because the Jews... See, he wasn't just saying, I am a shepherd. I am a good shepherd. No, he comes out and he says, I am the good shepherd. And every single adult Jew would know exactly what he was talking about because the psalm we read today was just as popular then. It says, the Lord, that's Jehovah, Yahweh, is my shepherd and I shall not want. There wasn't, in the Jewish mind, there wasn't any other the shepherd. There were a lot of shepherds, but none that could say the. And he says, I am the good shepherd in verse 11 of this, and in verse 14 of this chapter. And that was Jesus saying, you come into synagogue Sundays and you read Psalm 23. You read that I put you in green pastures and lead you beside the still waters and prepare a table before you. That's me. And that's quite a shocking statement for a regular looking Jewish son of a carpenter to be making. It really is amazing. And they... Later, towards the end of the chapter, they want to stone him again. Because he came up and he didn't say, well, I'm a good shepherd. You know, the word pastor means shepherd. I'm a shepherd. I'm shepherding you. But I am not the shepherd. And if I ever come out and say that I am the good shepherd, go to another church. Don't stay here. Run. Don't walk. Because that's not God's voice. But Jesus comes out and he says, I'm the good shepherd. And so he knows, they know what he's claiming. He's claiming to be the one who fulfills Psalm 23. Now the psalm, and we'll go back to Psalm 23, keep our markers here in John, but I want us to look at the psalm because this is what Jesus is claiming to do. As we go back into Psalm 23, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. First thing he says is, you shall not what? You shall not want. Jesus is saying, if you stay with me, you will have no unmet need. What an amazing thing that is. And he talks then about nourishing us. He says, he brings us to the green pastures and the still waters, and he restores our soul. And the thing about sheep is sheep are sort of dumb. And we don't like seeing ourselves that way, but we are, you know, just sort of going our own way, like Isaiah 53 says, bah, 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 go our own way. And God has to make us sometimes lie down in green pastures. I like it says he didn't just bring us to the green pastures. He makes me to lie down in the green. He's like, now, come here, stupid sheep. This is what you really want. And we're looking out that way. No, you know. Come here, get some food. Feed, eat, enjoy. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. And then, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. How many Christians I know today who are running around afraid? They're afraid of this and they're afraid of that. And oh, what happens if the wrong political party wins? And what happens if this happens? And what happens if I lose my job? And what happens if I lose my health? And what happens if this? And what happens if that? They don't sleep at night. Because they forget. We forget. That the shepherd is always there. As we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and there was an actual place in Israel that had that name, and it was a place where there were a lot of people who were bad people could come and steal, and there's also wilderness, wolves, and stuff like that. It was not a nice area to be, but with the shepherd, you're safe. It's like David, you know. All David's sheep were safe because he could get the lion and the bear. So we're that way. We're safe in the hands of God. Romans 8:28. How many things work together for good? All things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. Why are we losing sleep? Worrying about tomorrow. And then it says, He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Notice, we'll have enemies. We'll have people who hate what we stand for, hate who we are, and yet God makes them look while He blesses us, prepares a banquet before us. And then he says, my cup runs over. He anoints my head with oil and my cup runs over. You know, you've heard the thing, well, the optimist says the cup is half full and the pessimist says the cup is half empty. Well, I'm a biblical realist. The cup can always be refilled and will be. Don't worry about drinking the cup down because there's more where that came from. It flows. It overflows. Surely, not maybe, surely goodness and mercy will follow me Mondays and Thursdays, two months a year, right? No. All the days of my life. And then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, that's the psalm. It's a great and mighty promise for all of life. Because we have Yahweh, the Good Shepherd. And here's Jesus coming and saying, that's who I am. And he summarizes the psalm very nicely at the end of verse 10. He says, the thief comes to kill and to steal and destroy, but I come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. That's what he just gave that blind man who's sitting there seeing for the first time. And that's what these religious leaders wanted to steal away. That abundant life. They wanted to take him who had just gotten back his sight, or not back, he never had it before, just gotten his sight. And they wanted to put him under their religious power-seeking thumb. And when he wouldn't follow them, they cast him out of the synagogue. So Jesus is talking about who he is. And this is who he is to you and to me. But he also talks about something the psalm doesn't talk about. Going back to John chapter 10, he says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. He says, you want to know about all the green pastures and the water and the banquet and the overflowing wine and all those things you received freely when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Those are yours. There isn't anything free. Someone pays for it. So I wish these people in government would learn when they try and give you free things. There's no free. If you get it free, it was paid for by somebody else. And it's true with our salvation too. It's free to us because a shepherd gave his life. Now in his congregation there that was sitting there while he healed this blind man, there were probably some real shepherds. I mean the ones that take care of woolly, four-legged sheep. And they probably wondered at this statement. You know, we read in our Bible, but none of us have ever been a shepherd before. And so we take it and we just read it. But the statement is actually sort of strange. The shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Because if a real physical shepherd is guarding sheep, and the shepherd gives his life, what's the problem? Who takes care of the sheep then? He's dead. If there's a lion or a bear or a wolf or a robber and he comes to take care of to take the sheep, to eat them, to steal them, and you're the shepherd and you go out to fight the bear or the lion or the wolf and you die, what happens to the sheep? They all get eaten or stolen. So the shepherds must have been thinking, this makes no sense. The shepherd has to defeat the enemy, defeat the wolf, defeat the lion, defeat the thief. Or the sheep are meat. Because Jesus, and see, Satan didn't understand this either. Because Satan was always trying to kill Jesus. But Jesus, in the next chapter, will give the answer to this. He gives his life because he is the resurrection and the life. The shepherd comes back stronger than ever before. And he throttles those robbers, and he kills those lions, and he kills those bears. But there is a cost. The giving of the life was not easy. There was nothing harder in the universe than what Jesus did on that cross. And not just the physical pain, the spiritual and emotional pain of separation from His Father. When He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? When He became sin for us, became the thing that God hates the most, so that you and I could have His righteousness. See, the sheep doesn't know any of this stuff, normally. You know, if you're a physical sheep, all you know is you're safe. All you know is, I get food. I get water. There's no wolves. I can go through the valley of the shadow of death and be safe. Because the shepherd's business is the shepherd's business. But here He lets us know. A good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. As opposed to the robbers. The thieves and the robbers. Now the thieves and the robbers were those in front of Him. He says there in verse 1, all that come before Me are thieves and robbers. And He's not talking about every person who says, follow God. He's talking about people who say, follow Me. Like these religious leaders were doing. They were pointing people to God. If they were, they'd have seen the miracle and come to Christ. They were saying, follow Me and I'll show you. He said, those are thieves and robbers. He says in verse 1, who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up another way, he is a thief and the robber. And down in verse 7, He says who the door is. He says He's the door. And people say, well, how can He be both the door and the shepherd? Here's how it was back in those days. They had these sheepfolds, and they were sort of either rectangular or circular pens with a brick, mud sort of wall. And the wall was probably about this tall, maybe a little taller if the person had money. But basically, because sheep aren't very good jumpers. Sheep can't do Mikey's tricks on a skateboard. You know, sheep, you don't need a Trump wall to keep sheep out. You just need something that sheep can't jump. And then they'd have a doorway. These were out in the country. And you didn't build a physical door, because as soon as you took your sheep back into the city when it got cold, someone would come and steal your door. So you just had a blank space there. And what happened is the shepherd at night would lie in front of that door, because the sheep won't even, you know, if any sheep tries to get out, the shepherd's going to feel it, because sheep don't jump over, you know, we don't count sheep jumping like this over the shepherd. So He's the door. So if you want to come in and out, it says, if you don't come in by the door, you're a thief and or a robber. Nobody goes over the wall for good purposes. These people were claiming to be religious leaders, leaders of the synagogue, leaders of the people of God. But they didn't come through the door. In fact, they rejected the door. They said, if you believe Jesus, we're going to cast you out of the synagogue. They said, you're a thief and a robber. All you're doing is stealing sheep. He says, and their whole purpose of thieves. Now, Satan is the big one, but this is true of religious leaders in general, if they're not pointing people to Christ. They come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we need to understand that there's no such thing as a benevolent, non-Christian faith. It's hard to say that in this world, right? Because we're supposed to be tolerant. And yes, people can believe what they want. But if they're not bringing people through Jesus Christ, they are killing, stealing, and destroying. That's why the gospel is so important. That's why we're here. Because we are not going over the wall. We want to bring people through the door. We want to tell them, look, the shepherd is here. Come, let Him bring you to the green pastures and the still waters. He says, I have come not that you might have eternal life. He says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. My question is this. And see, here's the passage says that his sheep hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice, it says in verse 4 and 5. He brings out his own sheep, and he goes before them, and his sheep following, they know his voice. They will not always follow, they'll by no means follow a stranger, but they will flee from him. They do not know the voice of a stranger. Let me ask you, have you heard his voice? What does Jesus' voice sound like? I'm not talking about a physical sound, obviously. But what are his words telling you? If you hear a voice that comes down into your head and tells you, you can't do anything for me. You're no good. You can't be used. Your life is hopeless. Just sit in your room. Don't go out and enjoy what I have, because you're not worth it. It's not the voice of the shepherd. The world will tell you that. If you have a voice that tells you, this life isn't worth living, give it up. You'll never be anything. It's not the voice of the shepherd. What words are you listening to in your life right now? Are they telling you that the future is bright? Are they telling you that your tragedies and your trials are going to work for good? If they're not, don't follow that voice. Because the promises of God are great and abundant. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. If you're not, there's something wrong with who you're following. See, he goes on and he talks about hirelings. In verse 11 and 12, he says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep, but a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. He talks about hirelings, and hirelings is just another way of saying the same thing as he was saying about the thief. A hireling is someone who is in it for the money. Peter and Paul both talk about religious leaders who are in it for the money. They come, they'll preach. I remember I talked to one online back years ago when I was still at another church, but I got to know this pastor online. He was about then a little older than I am now. He was 64, 65. Preaching at an evangelical church. Every Sunday would get up and give his message. And he was a pastor. But he confided in me. He says, you know what? I've become an atheist years ago. I said, you're still pastoring the church? He says, yeah. What do you preach? He says, well, I preach the gospel. I preach the Bible. I don't believe it, but I preach it because that is how I make my living and I got to eat. His church, now he says his church didn't know. I bet you there must have been some people there who suspected. Because I don't know how you can preach that week after week after week with any conviction and not believe a word of it unless you're a really good liar and storyteller. But he was that kind. He was open with me. He says, I don't believe a bit of it. But I've got to eat, and I don't know how to do anything else. I've been doing this all my life. I'm 65. He was pretty blatant about it. It's basically, you know, religious prostitution. I'm in it for the money. A lot of people aren't so blatant. But a lot of people who are working in, quote, church work, and Lord, pray for me, people, that I never become this, are there not because they have a conviction for the Word of God, but because it brings them power. It brings them, it's like Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, they love the good places and the synagogues, and they have the big prayer shawls with the super big borders around them, and they love people saying, Rabbi, Rabbi, teacher, teacher. He says, the hireling, when the real trouble comes, they're going to leave the sheep. And you know what? It could happen with any of us, but it'll never happen with Jesus. I may fail. Any pastor you have may show himself at some point to be a hireling. But if I ever do, please don't let go of Jesus. He says three things about the sheep. He says, first, they hear the shepherd's voice. The shepherd's voice will speak to you here in Scripture. The shepherd's voice is there. Sometimes it's distorted by the pastor's voice. And I pray, and one of the things that I pray before I do a sermon, it's been a prayer of mine for years. Lord, if I say anything that's not your voice, help them to forget that and not hear it. My sheep hear my voice. Then it says in verse 9 of chapter 10, it says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. I like the three things. First, they'll be saved. And saved is not just a spiritual, you're going to heaven. Saved is you're safe. You're protected. You can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You have been delivered. And it's in the past tense. Jesus isn't going to deliver you. Jesus has delivered you. You're saved. All things work together for good. And so you're free. You go in and out. You can run in the meadows. I remember Bambi, you know. You remember the movie Bambi? And they take Bambi for the first time out to the edge of the woods and to the meadow. And he jumps out of the meadow. And his parents say, no! More recently, Finding Nemo. You know, they're at the drop-off. And the little Nemo goes, help him! He's going out after the boat. And is that, no, I want to get out! No. You can go into the meadow. You can go over the drop-off because you are free. You can go in and out. The shepherd is watching. And you're nourished. If there's a thing I want us to remember here today is live without fear. As long as you know the shepherd's near. Because you're protected from the wolves. I want to call every one of you at the end of this year and for 2020, you go out and you live without fear. You live open. You live free. You live abundant. Chase those things that God puts in your heart. Delight in the Lord, Psalm 37:4, and He will give you the desires of your heart. The world will try and twist the shepherd. I remember when I was in high school and college, there was a famous rock group called Pink Floyd. You still listen to his music. They're very good musically. But they had a song on one of their albums. It was called Sheep. And it was a song that was a parody of the 23rd Psalm. It started out like the 23rd Psalm in the song. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he leads me beside the still waters and all these things. But then it changed. And instead of saying that he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies and all that part, it says, and then he made me into lamb chops because he was very hungry. And a lot of people have that idea about God and about the shepherd, that in the end, he's going to get you. Jesus says, no, I don't make my sheep into lamb chops. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. Don't buy the Pink Floyd view of God. You shall not want. You are comforted. Just stay close to the shepherd.